The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Still to come this hour, Jason Weingarten joins us from under a cloud of smoke. Bob Stoll, you know him as Dr. Bob. He will talk about week one macro trends in college football through the years and talk about his process. If you've ever been interested in being a serious bettor and doing things by math model, Bob will give us a little overview on what he has done through his adult life in terms of math models and technical analysis. We'll get into that. And we should probably look at those U.S. Open odds now that Carlitos has been bounced by Botic van de Zandschulp. By the way, Patrick Everson, our buddy Patrick Everson, tweeted this last night. Per BetMGM Nevada's Scott Shelton, pardon me, a bettor bet 25 large, $25,000 on Alcaraz at minus 10,000 to win 250 American dollars.
Oh, Steve.
Fezzik? No, maybe not. Not Fezzik.
That is rough.
Oh, that's brutal. And then just one from Giuseppe Betta, who says, in broad daylight, officially added to my day-to-day lexicon after yesterday's show, I will patiently wait for the day when someone understands my reference and replies with a nod and a simple A-N-G. Thank you very much, Giuseppe. Love that name, by the way. If that is your real name. Ladies and gentlemen, this is his real name. It's Chris Felica. He comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You know him as the Bear, the emperor of the Bear Bets Pod Empire over there at Fox Sports. What's happening, man? College football's back.
It is. Yeah, we added another little fiefdom to the Bear Bets Empire. Myself, Bruce Feldman, this afternoon, we'll have a little show, a little Twitter Spaces, which will be released in podcast form after that. But yeah, fire Bear Bets Pod, and Bruce and I have some questions, and hopefully we'll be able to have some time and answer them on the pod. But yeah, it's awesome. And just it sucked last night to have the Alcaraz match and the Osaka match going on at the same time as the Colorado
totally
North Dakota State game. It was like multiple screen, but sensory overload.
Totally was. What was, okay, I talked about Dion in Colorado, North Dakota State a little while ago. What was your biggest single takeaway? And I know there was a week zero, but it really felt like it began in earnest last night. What was your biggest single takeaway from the games?
Yeah, I think two. Number one would be the Florida State game last week was that, in fact, it wasn't a fluke. Like if it was the way Miami lost to Georgia Tech last year or whatever, but for Georgia, like Florida State didn't turn the ball over. Florida State had one penalty. They just got whipped on the line of scrimmage and got beat. That would be concerning to me. Like, if it was a fluke loss, okay, it happens every now and then, but to just get beat as a double-digit favorite would be concerning. And then segueing to last night, I know it's you are either in the I love Colorado camp, I love Deion Sanders, or I hate Colorado when I hate Deion. So there are no real in-betweens for the most part. But it's going to be very interesting as the year goes on to see if Travis Hunter can maintain. Look, I don't know if he's going to be sitting out two plays every game. He'll be sitting out more. But if he can, I mean, 7 for 132 and three, and then the impact he has defensively, I don't know how many games Colorado is going to win. But I think if we're looking, maybe sitting here now, and we're looking back at the end of the year, and he has close to 1,000 yards receiving from that great wide receiver room that they have there in Boulder. And I know you like rooms.
Love rooms. Love them.
But
rooms and buildings. Rooms and buildings. Yes.
But he has more of an impact than Charles Woodson ever had offensively. And I think you can kind of shoot holes in like all of these quarterbacks that are above him right now. I think he has a real legit chance to win the Heisman. I was 25-1 now. I see him in a lot of places. DraftKings, FanDuel, and a lot of the apps that people have. I still think that's worth a play because I think the quarterbacks that are listed ahead of him, I still think there are some question marks, but I think it's going to be pretty hard at the end of the year to say that this guy is not the best or one of the couple of best players in the sport.
Well, as we know, there's like 1,000 Heisman voters, and I'm not even being flippant, right? That's like legit.
It is. I think it's, 960 or something like that. I'm not one, by the way. I don't want to be.
How are you not one?
Who the hell knows? But I don't want to be thrown in that whole NBA like voter award controversy. I don't have a vote. I can influence the vote in stats and the things that I talk about, but yeah, I actually do not have a vote.
I think we're cutting down these days down to 870. I see.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, nice. Good. Oh, good. We waited a few out.
So few tax vote is even more important now, is what you're saying.
Oh, great. Yeah, great.
Wonderful. Okay. So, but let me just ask one follow up to the old, cause I thought he should have been a Heisman, you know, before he got hurt last year. I was like, same theory, right?
What's the question?
The question is, what does Colorado have to finish for this not to be an issue? Do they have to get to a bowl game? Do they have to win six?
It's probably bowl eligibility, I would think. Yeah, I mean, what, Paul Horning won with a losing record. That was the allure of Notre Dame in that era, though. So, but yeah, I think it's going to take bowl eligibility for him to get it done. I think that will be a conversation if that happens.
Okay. Of the marquee matchups in college football this weekend, do you have a bet in any of those? Let's start there at the top.
Yeah, I played under 48.5 in Clemson, Georgia, and I played a Clemson team total under as well. I think this is a Clemson offense that I think is going to struggle against Georgia. I don't think Clemson's wide receivers are great anymore. Like they had that great run of wide receivers, whether it was with Renfro and Mike Williams and the other guys that they've had. I don't think this is the same type of group that they've had. I think they've regressed there. Fumoff is a nice back, but he's not an elite difference maker. Georgia typically does very well in these like big time non-conference games in the regular season, shutting opponents down. I think the word is Etienne from Georgia. He may be suspended, so that's another weapon off of Georgia offense. I think this has underwritten all over it, and maybe like a 27-10 type Georgia win. Because I think Clemson's defense is good enough to hold their own on the line of scrimmage and make Georgia work for it. But I think they're going to struggle mightily to score points.
And Dabo's just going to go with this anti-transfer portal thing till the end? That's his thing?
Yeah, exactly. It's the shame because, again, you can have your opinion of it. You can love it. You can hate it. But if schools like Florida State, Ohio State, Georgia, Miami, LSU, if they're all doing it to build their teams and fill in holes, you've got to do it. It's adapt or die. And it's no coincidence that the demise of the dynasty era of Clemson has coincided with the influx of the transfer portal and NIL. So unless they start plugging holes, I think this is the ceiling where we are for Clemson.
Yeah.
And then I'm shocked as well here. I laid 8 with Penn State against West Virginia. I see some 7.5s out there now, which really surprises me. I mean, the Mountaineers obviously now a big, I don't want to say public dog, because I don't know if it's public money or sharp money or whatever, but this number's come down quite a bit. I just worry about West Virginia in this spot facing a defense that, they don't typically see a defense with this type of speed and size in the Big 12 like they're going to see tomorrow from Penn State. The three teams that West Virginia played last year that finished the season ranked, Mountaineers lost all of them by an average of 20 points a game. James Franklin is a very profitable head coach in games. And from Ralph Michaels' stat, if you go back and look at games over the last 3 years, they've been favored by between 7 and like 24 points, basically eliminating the group of five non-FBS teams that backups are going to play. Last 3 years, they're 16-0-1 against the spread. So it's like they win and cover these games. I'm not necessarily of the belief that Drew Aller is this great guy who people think he's going to be, but I think the defense is going to be obviously great again. I think the running backs with Allen and Singleton will be fine. I laid the 8, and I'm sorry, I didn't get 7.5, but you can get a better number now than I did. So those were two plays, and not a marquee game, but I did lay 10 with Rice against Sam Houston State. Wow, I'm on a lot of minuses on my card this week, which worries me a little bit.
What could go wrong?
Exactly. But Mike Bloomgren has been afforded time by Rice to kind of build his program up, and I think he has it in a really good spot now. They got some guys back on offense. You bring in E.J. Warner, the quarterback from Temple, and you're laying points against a Sam Houston team that didn't necessarily make a great transition last year to the FBS. So it'll probably take a little bit more time for them. So I think Rice is a sleeper in that league this year to win. And hopefully they'll win by double digits tomorrow.
non-betting question to close. Just curious, for if you didn't have any bets, if betting didn't exist, and you were just like, this is the game I'm most fascinated to see, just from a college football hard-o perspective, what game would that be?
Miami, Florida. And that's eliminating the alumni bias that I have, because I think you've got, obviously, Miami is a hype team this year, a team that's heard all offseason about the additions to the transfer portal, how they are now an ACC favorite. And then you have on the flip side, Florida, where they've already fired Billy Napier, and your win total is 4.5. You're going to go 4-8. You're terrible. You've got no talent. Now you're a home underdog and on your home, obviously your home underdog on your home field. And you've heard about how you've sucked all summer against a Miami team that has, what, won 10 games once in like the last 15, 16 years and has not won a game like this in a long time. Can all these transfers come together and deliver and perform? As a Miami alum, this is a terrible spot for the Canes tomorrow, and I hope they can get out of Gainesville with a win.
Sorry about your Mira Andreeva future, but I know we got some others that are super live.
Yeah, we're okay with this. We got the Ego over 1.5 slams from earlier in the year, which we got going. We got the Bedosa tickets, 550 on the quarter, 27-1 to reach the final, 50-1 to win. And then the day when Carlos Alcaraz rolled his ankle on the practice court, which I think was like after I had done the segment with you, I grabbed Jack Draper at 16-1 to win the quarter. Mm. So that wasn't the worst possible result for me last night.
Okay. Yeah, I'm pumped. Besides the Alcaraz part, which was only just a little thing, they're all looking great. And the seas are parting for Iga, Muhova, and Kalinskaya in Q2. Bedosa. By the way, I'm a little worried about that Bedosa match today. A little worried.
I am too.
Yeah.
I am too.
Against Elena Gabriela Rus. Chris Felica, everybody. Bear Bets Pod. Pods plural. At Chris Felica on Twitter. The Bear. Thank you, sir.
No problem, but have a great weekend, everyone.
You too. Jason Weingarten next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game from Bar Canada the Deep, Bar Canada, the Barrage. Skill Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin. By the way, did you catch Circus Survivor, the quest for $9.2 million, episode 5 last night, Kelly Bidlin?
No, I'm still working my way to the finish line on that.
The producers, Stephen Shalansky and James Ferris Shalansky, texted me. He said, hey, can we film for this year's? Can you come by and get some film for this coming one? And I was like, I got nothing else to say. I said everything. He goes, oh, you'll think of something. So there you go. I guess we're filming for this year's, which will be the quest for, I don't know, 11 or 12 million? I don't know. We'll find out. So anyway, I'm going to go enter Circus Survivor. And
current overlay, 1.2.
1.2. Current overlay.
8,700 people in. Only 3,600 people signed up for millions. So
80. How many for millions?
3,600.
Okay.
3,656, if you want to be specific, because it's right on the board.
I'll go sign up today. Major League Baseball, August update. By the way, September numbers are up, and I will have a bet by the end of the show, Kelly, and I will announce it for September. Because the old flight to San Francisco is going to come soon enough, and I won't be able to make it if I don't make it today. But here for August, last couple days.
By the end of the show, wow.
By the end of the show. Here it is, Diamondbacks, 18-7 in the month of August. They lost last night, as did the Padres. So the Diamondbacks at 18-7, clinging to a one-win lead over the Dodgers, who are 17-8 for the month, and the Padres, who are 17-9 for the month. All NL West final in August. Cubbies at 16-8, the Brewers at 16-9, who have a doubleheader today. The only other teams that are mathematically alive here. Remember, at Circa, ties are broken by fewest wins. Ties of wins. Most wins are broken by fewest wins, followed by run differential. At William Hill Caesars,
losses.
Dead heat. Fewest losses, what did I say?
Fewest wins.
Yeah, most wins, tiebreaker, settled by fewest losses, followed by run differential. And then, of course, dead heat at William Hill Caesars. So there it is. Diamondbacks with two against the Dodgers, right? They're playing each other. Wow, what a finish. So again, the Padres, the Cubs, and the Brewers, they could be the sneaky, freaky brother sneaking in from the rear. You never know, Kelly. You know how much you love that expression. Diamondbacks and Dodgers.
Man, that is, if you were holding one of those tickets, Dodgers or Diamondbacks, man, you're in for a weekend.
What a weekend it is. Okay, and then the best record overall in Major League Baseball, with some of us have a ticket in. I have one on the Diamondbacks. Diamondbacks lose yesterday. Dodgers win. So now the Diamondbacks are four behind. The best record in all of baseball. The Dodgers in first place. They're the first team to 80 wins this year are the Dodgers. No one likely to get to 100. That ain't going to happen this year. So the Dodgers, I'll go here. The Dodgers with incremental. It's been a scrum at the top. But the Dodgers with 80 wins at the top, 80 and you can tell I'm filibustering trying to get this up. There you go. 80 and 54. Phillies 79 and 55. Yankees right behind them at 78 and 56. Brewers and Orioles. Actually, Brewers at 77 and 56. And then it dips a little bit in the loss column to the Orioles and Diamondbacks and Guardians. But there you go. Dodgers right now leading the fray, if you will. How about the Braves making their way up to 10th? The Braves, we have the Braves to miss the playoffs as our pick, and I have a bet on it in real life, as our VEASAN network-wide show versus show kind of thing about best, most money cashed on an MLB future. We have the Braves to miss the playoffs. At one point, the Mets took a lead on them. And now it was four games. Now it's back to three after the Braves lose yesterday and the Mets win. But the Braves, as not quite as close to the top of the division, but three games clear of the Mets now.
Plus 450 now for them to miss.
Oh, well, good CLV for us, but that's about it right now. Come on, Braves, lose some games. Jason Weingarten joins us, ladies and gentlemen, from a cloud of smoke somewhere in California at Spreadopedia. What's happening, Jason? How you doing, man?
Pretty good.
Laid back. Look at him. Laid back.
Fight on his money. There's money on his mind.
That's what he's got. Jason, what do you got in baseball today?
Not much. Honestly, couldn't tell you I bet anything good today. It's kind of getting close to wrapping it up. Maybe might actually be my last weekend of MLB for the regular season.
Do you do that every year? Are you known to do that? Where you just back off in September?
No, I mean it just every year I make good money betting baseball and I lose it in September. So maybe this year I'll just go read some books or something.
Go read some books.
Why? Definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results.
That it is. That I have heard it is. Okay. So just tell me right now, do we have the 12 teams that are in playoff position right now? You believe those are the 12 teams that are going to be in the postseason? Like, there's not going to be much in and out drama here at the end, or is somebody vulnerable?
There could be some fluctuations in the division races. Dodgers aren't guaranteed to win the division this year. Seems like I mentioned last show, Tyler Glasnow. It's kind of a worry for them, and now all of a sudden he might not pitch again this year. And you mentioned Dodgers still have best record, first team to 80 wins, but if you look at their rotation and stuff, you'd think the sky's falling. So I don't know. I think Dodgers are still just heads and shoulders above everybody else. Like I said, 80 wins, and they seem to be having a bad year.
Right, but in terms of the make or miss playoffs, though, still those 12, though? Getting back to the question.
Yeah, I mean, who do you think? The Mets? The Red Sox?
I don't feel like anybody's dropping out. I don't feel like anybody is. Twins, some
Tigers,
would say. I don't.
Tigers are only five games back. Tigers, all of a sudden. With the Cy Young, I don't know.
All right. So as you look at this, because I don't know if I saw any exactas that are still up here, because I think, I mean, again, I've been sort of preaching about this is the year in Major League Baseball, right? This is the year to take a flyer. And I know, I always ended by saying, watch, the Yankees and Dodgers will play in the World Series of all years.
I got them up. What do you want? Dodgers beat Yankees 13-1.
Dodgers beat Yankees 13-1? No, what I'm saying, okay, so take, I don't care about the exactas. I did matchups. Are matchups still up? I'm sorry about that. Matchups. Because I have Diamondbacks versus Royals in the World Series, regardless of result, 400-1.
That is interesting. I do not see.
Jason, what would be a combination that you would be interested in knowing the number for?
Padres, Yankees, I guess. I don't know.
Padres, Yankees. What would be Yankees over Padres or Padres over Yankees? We're completely destroying Kelly to do this live.
I don't know if I've ever seen them have the exactas up without the matchup also as an option, but the matchups are not up.
Matchups is usually a separate category.
Matchups to the exactas, personally. But
me too. I'm all about the matchups. It would be terrible to lose that on an exacta. So gotta go Badgers. Padres, Yankees for you. You think the Padres are a team that is set up for postseason success is what you're saying.
I mean, they have a good top of the rotation with Cease and Musgrove and Michael King all of a sudden. They have producing outfielders that they didn't expect to have this year, replacing Juan Soto. It's a fine team, you know, like
let's do
anything
it
can happen in the playoffs.
Let's do it the opposite way. Let's do it the opposite way, because that's the more trite question. Give me the team, give me the club that is going to make the playoffs where you're like, you know what? They're not set up well for the playoffs. This is a team that is a regular season team that can perform over 162, but if you stick them in a playoff format, they're more likely to fail.
Dodgers.
Done. From what you were saying before.
Because the pitching, it's every year, the pitching, you know, like Yamamoto and Glass now it's like maybe you get one of them for the playoffs. I mean, Yamamoto's on his way back, but you just never know. One bad game out of your ace and all of a sudden you're starting Bobby Miller, who knows who, in a elimination game in a series, and it's you know, stuff gets out of hand quick when you run out of pitching.
Well, Yankees fall in that category too for you, for different reasons, for offensive reasons.
Yeah, I mean, it's The Yankees, just as a fan base, you know, they have a bad week or two and everyone's freaking out. I still think they're probably fine. I'd be less worried about their lineup in the playoffs because, look, like at the end of the day, if Soto and Aaron Judge don't come through, like you want to be in that position. You want those guys in the middle of your lineup. You know, I'd still take the Yankees pretty much. Probably over anybody in the American League other than the Astros. I think the Astros are coming on strong and have a good team. But for the most part, I still like the Yankees here.
All right.
33-1 on that matchup. Thank you, associate producers Chris Felica and Michael Montesano, for texting.
33-1 Padres-Yankees matchup. What's my Diamondbacks-Royals matchup now, by the way? I'm curious.
That's what happened in front of me. Well, they just texted
me. Get Felica and Montesano on that, for God's sakes. Got like we got proxy producers over here. Jason, thank you as always. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you. Talk to you later.
Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke, Southern California. That smoke was heavy today.
Now, can I interest you in the to win division and World Series market for you NL West lovers? Diamondbacks is 75-1. Padres is 75-1.
Yeah, but they still got to overcome the Dodgers is the issue. That's why it's so long.
Right.
And then you have to win the World Series. So it's a part. I want no part of that.
I mean, you got a piece of them to finish with.
I got a piece of them in everything, right? I got a number one seed. I have the
best record. I was just trying to get you to add to your portfolio.
Yeah, no. But that to me is a dumber one than the rest.
Okay.
Yeah, because you got to do two things there. Why do that to yourself? It's hard enough. We'll come back. I will actually make a baseball bet for September most wins. Dr. Bob, though, on the other side with his college football process and week one trends on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey, don't forget, the NFL season 6 days away. We've got an updated NFL betting guide with post-preseason updates for every team, new insight on players to watch, week one betting systems, and, of course, more best bets. Grab our football season special. Get full VSiN Pro access from now through the Super Bowl for just $175. That's over 5 months of daily best bets, exclusive betting splits, data, top-rated betting systems, 24/7 video analysis. It's all there. Time ticking, though, with the NFL season 6 days away. You need to act now to get the most out of every game. Lock it in, your VSiN Pro access through football season for only $175. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Jamie Leva on Twitter says, moving on from Bar Canada, my guys never said moving up, LOL. ANG live from the old McDonald's location. So glad you're both staying in the same time slot. A man can only take so much change at my age. Have a great weekend, gentlemen.
It was nice of Derek to build us a whole brand new studio down there where the McDonald's used to
be. Yes, that was very nice of him.
I heard they left the hash brown machine in there for you, too.
So I'm just going to – the hash brown machine. So I'm just going to be pumping in hash browns the whole show?
Don't worry. I'm going to produce for you, and I'll have a little fryer going off to the side.
Listen, if you take down the McDonald's, just leave the hash brown machine. That's all we care about. Ladies and gentlemen, this man is a pioneer in predicting the outcome of sporting events through mathematical model and technical analysis. But he hates the term pioneer. He prefers legend. It's Dr. Bob, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Bob?
I said that once.
Oh, yeah.
Haunting me ever since.
Yeah, you did.
One time, Bob. It's all it takes.
It's all it takes. I have a sushi story. Yeah. One time. All it takes. Believe me. All right. Yeah. So refresh our memory, and you can only, you know, you don't have to take much time, but you're still the season win total that is still kind of there is Iowa State over?
Yeah, there aren't that many. I mean, I released 13 and I think 12 are out of range.
Yeah.
I had Iowa State over 7.5 up to minus 160 odds, and it's right around there. But yeah.
Okay.
Got a good start last night with Jacksonville State getting crushed as a favorite. So our under 7.5 there is on a good start.
On a good start, absolutely. Okay, let's talk about more macro things. Because you're saying you don't really have a best bet this weekend, you were telling me?
Last week when I was on, I talked about USC, and I took +6 for my clients, and that dropped the line to 4.5. It might be 5 now. Just a half unit play at 4.5 or 5 on USC. And I went over the reasoning last week, and it was a best bet at +6. But that's it. I have a lot of good stuff in week 2 usually, but week 1 I tend to lay low and see what happens in week 1.
Okay, I think this gives us a good opportunity to lay this out, because a lot of people are not going to be familiar with you from year to year. So explain, if you could, how you come up before you give us a flurry of week 2 picks next week. And you've given us a flurry of season wins already. Explain to folks how you come up with your college football priors.
Well, it's similar to what other people do, I'm sure, but I've been a little bit better at it because mine's more of an art form than a pure algorithm. I tabulate returning production in every category you can imagine. Rushing, percent of rushing yards returning, percent of passing yards, percent of offensive line starts, percentage of tackles for loss, sacks, passes defended, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I have algorithms that can take the returning production and recent years' performance and give me a pretty good baseline to how teams will perform in each component of the team, running offense, passing offense, run defense, pass defense, et cetera. And from that, I have wiggle room. There's also coaching tendencies. Riley at USC, he's never had a bad quarterback. In fact, maybe talk about this before, Williams is the second worst quarterback he's ever had in terms of compensated yards per pass play. Only Spencer Rattler was worse than Williams. And people think, Williams, oh my God, what are they going to do about Williams? Well, Miller Moss was pretty damn good in the bowl game last year. They're going to be fine. So I look at coaching history, et cetera, and I come up with, I adjust every component based on the algorithms and then, kind of feel art form. A lot of it is, and I have a range and, anyway, it works. I mean, my priors are, proven to be really good. So, odd that I don't pull a lot of, I don't do a lot of first week betting, despite the fact my priors are good, but they're even better in week 2. So,
well, and I just want to give people an indication. So you have your math model, which you have layered through the years. Sometimes you add layers, sometimes you subtract if you feel like it's not like the way to go. And so it's always like you said, it's a bit of an art form. And then you have the technical analysis, which is a fancy way of saying you've got a database.
Trend.
Yeah, of trends. And I know a lot of people are trend adverse. I happen to be as well, but I'm not one of these people who blanket and make that statement. They all are meaningless. They're not all meaningless. And when you have...
No, they're not all meaningless. Yeah. In fact, the NFL and the model, the last 7 years has been 58.7 or 58.8%, winners. And the model itself is good, but when there's some situational technical stuff going against a model play, the model plays are 50-50. But when there's not, then the model plays are really good. So the model overall might be in the 54-55% range, but when you exclude the games where there's some technical stuff or situational stuff going the opposite way, that moves it up to 58%. So people don't know because they don't track it. I've been tracking this stuff for 20 years. I don't base bets on situations of trends, but they will keep me off of games. So that's, I go by my model and the situational stuff. The trends will keep me off of games sometimes, but I won't bet a game purely on a trend.
Bob,
so I'm a math model guy, but I do pay attention because they do work. I do track how well these things work. And in general, significant situational stuff will be in the 53.5% range, which is good enough to keep you off a game if you if you've got something like that.
Yeah, I hope someone out there, at least one person out there, you know, listens to this and gets inspired by it. If they really want to, you know, approach sports betting seriously, like these are the kinds of people that have done it the best and that you should model, quote unquote, not trying to make a pun here, model yourself after. And Bob, I will just say to you on air what I've said privately, Carl Sack was here a couple weeks ago, and Carl and I said on air, we are both so much richer and more, you know, we would not be the handicappers we are today had we not sat at your knee, if you will, and learned from you, one of the greats. So I just want to say to you on air what we've said.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. Invaluable, that kind of history. What about week one trends that have been tried and true over the years in college football?
Well, you know, if you played football, if you played high school football or college football, and you're in your summer practices, the defense always seems to have a one up on the offense. And it's because it just takes the offense time to get a rhythm, get their timing, et cetera. That carries over week one unders in the NFL. There's a tendency for games to go under in week one of the NFL. It works that way in college football. In fact, the first 2 weeks in college football tend to go under. I've been logging totals in one database that I use since 2013, so 11 seasons. In games between two FBS teams, the unders the first 2 weeks of the season are 54.9%. That's a lot of games over 11 years, all of college football. 55% unders the first 2 weeks of the season. Now, less competitive games tend to be higher scoring. So if you limit it to only games in which one team is, you know, unless a team is favored by less than 17. So if the spread is less than 17, then the unders in college football the last 11 years, the first 2 weeks of the season, are 60%.
Say that one again, Bob, so in case anybody missed that. Say that one again.
Yes, first 2 weeks of the season, I only track FBS versus FBS. So, if the line is less than 17 points, you exclude the big favorite games, which can sometimes be blowouts, and those tend to go more over than under. But spreads less than 17, first 2 weeks of the season, 60% under the last 11 years.
Last 11 years. Solid.
That's a lot of games.
Yes, it is.
It's a lot of games.
And after a certain point, it becomes very meaningful. The sample size becomes very meaningful. Yeah.
So I adjust my ratings 2 points lower in week one and two. I adjust my predicted total 2 points lower in weeks one and two.
About as actionable as we can get right there. Yeah, that's interesting. And that makes intuitive sense to some degree, doesn't it?
Yeah, it definitely does. I mean, it's, defense is always, it's easier to play defense. You really need timing for defense. Yeah. There could be confusion in the secondary, et cetera. But offenses take a while to get the rhythm. When I was a quarterback, I mean, it took a while when you get new receivers, new plays, et cetera. It just takes a while to get your timing down. Which plays work the best, et cetera. Later in the season, offenses tend to get better.
Any other trend you want to share here in the last 30 seconds? Anything else?
Yeah, home teams in week one, the last 14 years, since 2010, FBS teams, FBS versus FBS teams, home teams are 303, 237, and 8 against the spread in week one, the last 14 years. That's 56.1%. That does not include this year. All home teams are 15-8-1 so far against the number. So I guess it's working, for some FBS versus FCS games because those are going to the home team also. Now there's some stuff here that makes it even better. If the opposing team has revenge from a previous season's loss, if the road team's coming in with revenge, it's about 50%. So if you exclude those, you get 57.3% winners just on home teams blind, 55-27 the last 2 years.
Bob, always fascinating, man. I appreciate it very much. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, buddy.
Bob Stoll, everybody, at Dr. Bob Sports, at Dr. Bob Sports on Twitter. My September most wins baseball bet. I've made it. I will share it next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Bar Canada at the D. Is this our last segment of the D? We don't know. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. It's our last segment with headphones. Could it be? What's everybody betting on here, Kelly? What's the crowds? What's going on here?
Figure out. I feel like there was three bets made throughout the entire show, and then there was all of a sudden a line of seven people.
I mean, I know I'm about to announce my MLB September wins, but geez, that was quick.
Hey, there's a 9:40 first pitch.
That's Pacific probably, time, that's probably what it is, unless they're betting U.S. Open tennis or something. By the way, the tennis play today is Elise Mertens plus 199 against Maddie Keys. That's the only one that I played after a stellar day yesterday. 5-0 clean sweep, 13-0 on sets. Tim Lawson texts. He says, "Quote, that smoke was heavy today." Unquote. Yes, I mean, wasn't it? I wasn't lying. We get tweets at Beat of the Book. Jalen Warren Stan account. He said, "Who did you just have on?" That's Dr. Bob, Dr. Bob Sports, drbobsports.com. Legend in the business. Trust the glove. No, not trust the glove. 3Jack H3131 says, "Always great to hear Dr. Bob's insight on college football. Makes it so I can't feel my face." Do I need to say that reference again? The old Weekend song, The Weekend. I can't feel my face. When Bob was dating his soon-to-be wife, soon-to-be fiance, but when he was just dating her, that song was popular. And we were walking in San Francisco on Union Street, and he goes, "Gil, you ever been so in love that you, you know, it's like that Weekend song where you can't feel your face?" And I said, "Bob, I don't think that's what that song's about." And he thought for a second, and he goes, "No, Gil, I'm pretty sure that's what it's about." I go, "No, no, it's really not." Anyway, numbers, guys. Daniel Boone, Davy Crockett, Bob Stoll. Pioneers all. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay, baseball play for September.
I don't think he likes the legend line anymore.
He don't like it anyway. I said it once. Trust me, I know, buddy. So, again, we fell one out shy. One out away we were from cashing a 65-1 on the Guardians in March, April. Then we were, well, a couple games out from cashing it in May on the Guardians at 16-1. That because the Guardians went 2-5 against the White Sox and the Rockies that month. Could have been better. So just the bitterness of March, April. But finally in June, the third time was the try. Third time was the charm. We hit on the Astros dramatically in the month of June. And super pumped about that. 25-1 at Circa, 17-1 at William Hill. So this has just been awesome betting these monthlies. July, we had the Royals. They finished ninth because they started out really badly. They were 5-34 with runners in scoring position in their first five games. We never could get ahead of that. So they finished in the top 10, but not close. And then finally this month in August, we kind of sucked it up with the Mets. The Mets didn't come close. But we're going to do it for the final month of the season. And I landed on... By the way, this is also available at Circa and William Hill Caesars.
Yeah, just pull up the Caesars odds.
You ready for this? The Arizona Diamondbacks.
Oh!
The Arizona Diamondbacks. Arizona Diamondbacks won last month outright at Circa, dead heat with the Mets at William Hill. They are on the cusp, perhaps, of winning August. And at 25-1, I'm going with them in September. And I know folks might be like, "Wait a minute, man. They got the fifth most difficult schedule in baseball left." Yeah, but once you get these two first Dodgers games out of the way, it's going to be more middling on the schedule.
You got 25-1 here?
25-1 at
Circa. Caesars and Circa.
Yes, 25-1. Here's the point with September doing this month as opposed to the other months. In September, you've got to go with the team that is incentivized to win baseball games, that is in it, and that is going to play good baseball till the end. Because I think there's a lot of throwouts in September where you're like, "Well, why would I bet on random team here, no matter what their schedule is, if they're already like on vacation mentally midway through the month?" With the Diamondbacks, they are chasing the Dodgers. They are chasing a playoff berth, or trying to stay in playoff range, I should say. And they're just playing great baseball. And they got three against, if you want to go schedule, they got three against the Rockies. They got three against the Rangers. They got six against the Giants, who, by the way, the rumor is Farhan Zaidi, this might be the end for him. So who knows if they're going to be mentally checked out at some point. They will have two of the tough games are they will have two against the Dodgers, but they're trying to win those, right? To after these first two in August and then the first two games in September, they are super incentivized to win. These are home games for the Diamondbacks against the Dodgers. They got a bunch of games left against the Brewers. That's their most common opponent. Seven games against the Brewers, three against the Padres, three against the Astros. But this is, to me, the team. Just add another Diamondbacks bet to my portfolio. I'm all about it. Best record. The fact that it was 25-1 was shocking to me. That's the bet. So I got them to finish with the best regular season record, 40-1. Finish number one seed at 12-1 in the National League versus the Royals in the World Series, which is the one I'm most excited about, at 400-1. And now, best record in the month of September, 25-1. That's what I got.
Like it. like it.
Review of the tennis futures and to see how the market has shifted. By the way, all of our tennis futures, with the exception of the Iga Carlitos parlay, that was the only thing I had Carlitos in, was a parlay. That one is done. Carlitos losing in straight sets to Bodek van de Zandschulp. What was that? What was that? One of the biggest upsets, as we documented earlier, courtesy of Zach Cohen at VSiN.com. One of the biggest upsets in tennis history. But Muchova and Kalinskaya both in Q2 looking good as Elena Rybakina pulls out of that quarter. And then, by the way, Iga to win it. It is the sea is parting for Iga Swiatek, who was double parked outside in her 6-love, 6-1 win yesterday. But no Mira Andreeva now in her quarter. No freaking Collins in her quarter. So Iga might just roll, you know. We'll see. She's got a tougher match against Pavlyuchenkova in the third round. But Iga's looking good. As far as how the men's odds adjusted, Kelly, without Carlitos, Novak plus 150. Novak Djokovic trying to win his record-setting 25th Grand Slam singles title. 24 is already the record on the men's side. Margaret Court had 24 on the ladies' side. So that's really who he's competing against at this point. That's it. Jannik Sinner at 2-1. So you almost have co-favorites, if you will. Then it's Sasha Zverev at 6-1. Daniil Medvedev at plus 750. And then everybody else, 28-1 or longer, starting with the American Taylor Fritz.
Was it... So was Alcaraz on the same side as Sinner and Medvedev? Because I think they got chopped the most.
Yes, as they should have been, too. Yeah. No, the let's see what side. Now you put me on the spot.
Yeah, here. Sorry, I was just. No, that's all right. I don't think Zverev moved a ton.
Alcaraz was in Q2 on the same side as Sinner and Medvedev.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Those were the two I felt like that moved.
Djokovic and Sasha Zverev are on the other side.
Okay,
yeah. But this is—it's kind of why I didn't want to get too involved in the men's futures at all. I mean, that was the only little blip I had was on that parlay, just because it's top heavy. I thought Carlitos would be the one standing at the end. I was clearly wrong about that. But I think it's—I mean—it's appropriately priced. Are you going to get in front of the same? There was no way you could have predicted. By the way, if you had bet van de Zandschulp to win 3-0 yesterday, you could have gotten as high as 100-1 on that.
I'm surprised not longer than that.
I said to Drew, I go, yeah, but did one human bet that? He goes, one sicko probably did.
Right. Yeah,
by the way, then we got a tweet. Somebody had it in our,
really?
In our Twitter
That's
feed.
Great.
Yeah. It's like, oh, there you go.
This does feel like actually more, I mean, look, I know he's getting up there in years, but it sure feels like they're showing a lot more respect for the rest of the guys around Djokovic than normally we would see in a spot like this.
I mean, look, these are all young kids, man,
yeah.
Who have, you know, generation of tennis has come and gone. And like it was John Isner's line, the American, he goes, the Federer, Nadal, and Djokovic are just greedy.
Just feels like if this happened even a year ago, you don't think he'd be like odds on at this point?
Maybe not a year ago, but
yeah,
maybe 2 years ago.
Like,
but
Sinner only 2-1.
No, Sinner has had the best calendar year in tennis, but the injuries have got him. Djokovic has not won a slam this year, right? He has not won a slam. He won the Olympic gold, but he has not won a slam. He's trying to win his first slam of the year, and that would be number 25. But I think it's appropriately priced. I don't think it's shifted accordingly. Let's put it that way.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's just that it's like we used to say about the NBA back in the day. Like, there's no team from out of nowhere that will come and win this tournament. And then, of course, Emma Raducanu turns around and does it at the U.S. Open 3 years ago. But that's the ladies' side.
3 years ago already?
Years ago. What was it? It was Coco last year. It was Iga the year before, and it was Raducanu in 2021. That's right. Osaka 2020, Andreescu 2019, Osaka 2018. That's back at the U.S. Open. So, yeah, it shifted, but it shifted as it should. You have any bets in college football? Anything? You did anything? No? Nothing?
I've got
golf?
No, I do. I've got nothing tomorrow. Yeah. I've got FAU plus 14 tonight against Michigan State.
Bam!
Florida State goes down. Jump on the next bandwagon, Gil.
Is that the next
one? I was listening to the Great Bear Bets podcast, and a couple of the guys mentioned it there. I believe Will. I think Felica's on it, too, but it's dropped. I think
they're,
it's like 12.5, 13 now, so I think that's why he didn't bring it up.
Again, a shout out to Mitch and Paul. 7 years, follow the money at those hours. Unbelievable feat. They will be first show for them in the afternoon, 4-7 Eastern, 1-4 Pacific, starting on Monday. We remain in the same time slot. I don't know if we'll be doing it from the D or from elsewhere. I think it might be elsewhere. But we always appreciate you. None of us could do any of this without you, the loyal listener. Thank you so much for your support of VSiN through the years and into the future. We've done all we can do. Best Bets is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.